Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We are Baltimore Positive. This is a little bit of a requiem week here for all things Baltimore Ravens. Luke Jones about to join us here. We're going to get the Maryland Crab Cake Tour back out on the road. A cup of soup or bowl. I have a Raven scratch off. It's the last one I have. We will have Magic 8 Balls to give away 2 weeks from Monday. I almost wore my Costas shirt. We're going to be kicking things off at Costas. I must say this. Luke and I abstained from Buffalo on Sunday evening, just like Mark Andrews abstained from actually meeting with media like us that would travel after dropping the ball and after getting stripped. I'll say this: the notion that we were headed to Kansas City, that we believed that I had a flight for Luke and I, that we had barbecue ready on our hands, I had held New Orleans, and I was going to suspend my cup of Super Bowl because it's New Orleans, and we had the boat and. The people from New Orleans, Luke, were calling me from the Natchez and like, you're going to do another parade, right? And I got all sugar plummy and I didn't even think about Jaden Daniels, to be honest with you, or any notion that the Washington Commanders could be playing football this week and the Ravens wouldn't be playing football this week. But we talked so much about the game in Buffalo and the drop and Mark Andrews not showing up and, just in a general sense about giving the ball away and turnovers and what goes wrong in this game every year, whether it's Derrick Henry running you over 5, 6 years ago, or whether it's the loss in Buffalo a couple years ago where nobody's there, or whether it's, say, Flowers fumbling on the goal line last year and, against the Chiefs and they couldn't get it done. Offense, defense. Mark Andrews, Billy Cundiff, Lee Evans, find your goats, find whoever you want, or your other goats, and Justin Tucker. The organization pounds on this. It's going to be a year before they can fix it, which is always the hardest part when you have these kinds of expectations. The Orioles are about to find that out, and the new group, Don Kovac and Katie Griggs and all of them will find that out, that there is a level of expectation that once it rises to this point, and the Washington Commanders will have that after now, that, losing playoff games isn't good enough, especially when you're good enough. I think the Steelers fans can say, well, we don't have good enough players, or the Chargers fans can say, here we come. But for the Bills and for the Ravens in this kind of game where they both have lost it, and the Bills still have to go to Kansas City and they got an hour ahead of them on Sunday night to do something that always looks so easy to do until the Chiefs go in there and tangle you up like a pretzel. The Bills and the Ravens on Sunday night, we'll talk about this one for a long time, Luke, because the Ravens were good enough to win. The Ravens did certain things well enough to win in bottling up Josh Allen to some degree. And there'll be a lot of what ifs here as we close the locker. And I know the one thing, and Roquan said this from the podium in Buffalo after the game. It's never the same, right? Like whether Todd Monken's going here or who's going there or who's coming back and who's not coming back and salary. This team was constructed to win. It remained healthy enough to win. You believe Sunday afternoon they were going to win. I believe Sunday afternoon they were going to win. So there's a lot to answer for. Even if you lose to Patrick Mahomes, even if you lose to Josh Allen, he's going to the Hall of Fame or whatever, that you, even if it's on the road, it's a cold night and all of that, the game was there. And I think that that is, that will be the eternal lament for any of them who never win a championship. And I know you're still bullish on Lamar bringing Super Bowl here and like all that. Once they start to fade away like this and you start to lose, it then becomes really tough for these guys to go hang out in the offseason because they don't like losing.
Well, I mean, there's just at this point, especially for the guys that were here in 2018, or even the couple that were here before that, Marlon Humphrey, Ronnie Stanley's going to be a free agent, so who knows what's going to happen there. But yeah, there's a cumulative impact. And one thing that I wanted to bring up to you as I kind of was reflecting about this late Sunday night, we've spent a lot of time focusing on the turnovers, the giveaways, right? And the Ravens have turned the ball over a ton. In the postseason, going back to 18. I mean, just to, for the statistical context, in the playoff loss to the Chargers in 18, three turnovers. 2019 against the Titans, three turnovers. And 2020, two turnovers, one each in both of those playoff games. The Tyler Huntley, Lamar Jackson injury year, where they lost in Cincinnati, two turnovers in that game. Three turnovers against Kansas City last year, three turnovers against Buffalo on Sunday
Three
night.
turnovers in a January game,
On,
you probably lose.
but on the flip side, there are the plays like that that stand out, and understandably so. Do you know how many takeaways they have in those nine playoff
See,
games?
I'm thinking like sudden takeaways in playoff games. I remember Ed Reed in Indianapolis picking off Peyton and running and then giving the ball away. And but I'm thinking in this era, in the Lamar era, I'm going through these games. They fell behind early in the bad beats, right? The Chargers beat and the Titans beat earlier when Derrick Henry ran them over. I don't remember them stripping Derrick Henry in that game. I don't remember them picking off Tannehill. I don't like I'm thinking about those games whether there was a moment. Maybe they had a takeaway in that Buffalo sloppy ass game that nobody went to a couple years ago. I don't remember. Kansas City last year. I don't know, dude. I can't think of a moment where they took the ball away or there was a pick six or momentum shift. They lost games because they didn't have momentum shifts in any of these games.
Yeah. I mean, they have in nine playoff games in the Lamar era, and that's including the Tyler Huntley game, three takeaways.
Woo!
Three.
What? No wonder I don't remember them. They're not memorable.
And look, anyone who's a football nerd like me with analytics, look, in a given game, you might have
Good fortune.
one, right. Point
Or an
is,
interception is a Hail Mary at the end of the half, and it's not even
And
like anything,
right,
right?
and some of them are less consequential than others, right? I mean, we understand that. But when you talk about the history of this franchise, you think about 2000, a historic defense. You think about Ray Lewis taking the ball away from Eddie George, and you think about Dwayne Starks at the picks. Dwayne Starks, who was not a Pro Bowl corner, but had an All-Pro kind of postseason run.
Or
You
Keaton Mitchell's daddy taking the ball away. Don't forget
sure.
that.
Well, there you go. A special teams play, right? I mean, Jacoby
Ah.
Jones, Jermaine Lewis returning kicks. I mean, you think about all of those teams that broke through over the years. You had to have some of that as well. And I'm not blaming the defense for Sunday night's loss. Let me be very clear about that. Although they didn't play very well in the first half, the Lamar fumble put them on a short field. At best, questionable PI on Tre'Davious White gave Buffalo a chance to score a touchdown rather than a field goal at the end of the first half. But when you think about a game like that, when you're down by 11 points, you're chasing points on the scoreboard, you're playing uphill the entire second half. Boy, was that not a situation that was ripe to steal a possession, to get a takeaway, right? To make a big play on special teams, something of that nature. And that's the other part of this era. Where so much focus has been on Lamar, and understandably so. I mean, when you're talking about a three-time MVP, I expect three-time MVP at quarterback who hasn't played like that in the postseason, that's going to be the headliner, whether Lamar fans like that or not. And he played great in the second half, but he didn't have a good first half because he turned it over twice, and that was costly for them. But when you look at the collective, when you look at this football team in its totality in January, going back to 2018. Their defense hasn't been dynamic. Even when their defense has played well, they haven't taken the ball away. Their special teams haven't made massive plays. There hasn't been a big return or a blocked kick or things of that nature. I mean, these are the things you have to do over the course of making a run of winning three or four games to win a Super Bowl in January and early February. And I just wanted to point that out. I mean, when you're talking about nine playoff games and you have a minus 13 turnover ratio, tells me two things. You've turned the ball over way too much, and you're not taking the ball away very much. And that's a tough combination. I mean, look at this weekend. In the four games, the four teams that won were outgained yardage wise, but they took care of the ball and they took the ball away. Now, some of those are unforced errors. I mean, Lamar made a bad throw, bad decision on the interception. That wasn't necessarily a great individual play by Taylor Rapp. But it was a pick. We talked about Terrell Bernard with the strip of Andrews. Andrews can't lose the ball there, but a great individual effort by a linebacker to make the strip and the recovery. Where those plays, the
This
Ravens haven't
defense
made.
was good at that. Marlon Humphrey, at one point, that peanut punch was like his
Yeah.
jam, right?
I mean, the Ravens haven't,
He yeah.
they haven't made those plays in these spots. And again, that's part of it, right? It's so simplistic, even though, I mean, this game more than any, I mean, it's so slaps you in the face, obvious how crushing Andrews dropping a 2-point conversion is with 1.5 minutes to go and your chance to tie the ball game. But we know over the course of the last 7 years with this football team and trying to break through that it's been a collective effort. We've talked about coaching, we've talked about Lamar's play, we've talked about turnovers, but it's also taking the ball away on defense. I mean, they haven't done these things that you need to do to win in January. I mean, it's not like their defense has been awful in the playoffs. Let me be clear. I'm not suggesting that. But when you're down 2 scores in the second half, and look, the defense, they stepped up to begin the third quarter. That drive there coming out of halftime, Buffalo scores a touchdown there. I mean, Derrick Henry's completely a non-factor the rest of the way because now you're down 3 scores. Then it's panic time. Then you're really playing from behind. Then you're kind of, you know what, right? I mean, you're in bad, deep trouble there. So I give them credit on that front. But again, when you look at the totality, the body of work over these last 7 years, their defense and their special teams haven't made the game-changing plays either. It's frustrating. It really is. I mean, again, we focus on the giveaways, but a couple more takeaways along the way might have helped them. It maybe been the difference at some point. And look, that's a credit to their opponent for doing a better job, taking better care of the football. But it's another part of the collective narrative of this team just not being good enough in January, coming up small in January. And that's just something that really struck me. Again, 16 giveaways in 9 playoff games in the Lamar Jackson era. And only 3 takeaways. That's when you consider, especially the history of the Baltimore Ravens defense for a quarter century.
Well, it's not how you get to the January games. They don't have a habit of giving the ball away and not taking it away. Now, the taking it away part, to your point, that's been something that has come and gone, right? Like there were various points where they took it away a lot, Rex Ryan-y kind of era. And, I know you were a big fan of Wink. Wink was a little more aggressive. Spagnuolo was here for 5 minutes as well as a part of all of this. That aggression and aggressive players and the ability to instinctively do it. You know what I mean? It's not accidental punching the ball, right? It's not, right? It's coached. And it hasn't happened in these games, but it's one of the reasons. I mean, I've seen Marlon Humphrey dancing around so many times that I don't need to see it anymore. You know what I mean? Like dancing around after stripping some Giants player of a ball, whatever. We've seen enough of that, and that's how that some of these games can get out of hand. Although, Lamar running you out of the gym, and we'll talk about Derrick Henry some more as well. And by the way, let's talk about that. Happy with the Derrick Henry workload in the game? I mean, I'll say this: if I take the body of work for both of their games. And Lamar running into the Pittsburgh Steelers 10 times in the first 5 minutes last week. And then this week, pretending Lamar doesn't even have the wheels and like not really designing things to do that. Oh, which one do you want? You want him or you want me? They didn't play that kind of game. They really didn't. And maybe that's some respect to Buffalo, but it wasn't like, Henry, 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 King Henry, downhill, downhill, Lamar's legs, cold night. We're going to run you. We're going to run you. It wasn't that kind of effort. It wasn't they were ahead of the sticks getting 8 yards on first down all night, the way that they beat your ass. It was more like 3 yards in a cloud of flurries.
I mean, Derrick Henry had 21 yards on 8 carries in the first half. Buffalo did a good job stopping him.
That's not
Now,
good enough.
I mean, but that said,
That's how you
I
find yourself down 2 scores at halftime.
well, I mean, the turnovers were really why. I mean,
Fair enough.
it's you've got to take care of the football. And to answer your question, I had no issue with how they handled Derrick Henry. I mean, because To suggest that I would have an issue would be to suggest that 416 yards and 7.3 yards per play isn't good enough, right? The way that they moved the ball in its totality was not the issue in that football game. You can't turn it over, and you can't drop a 2-point conversion, right? And that's what happened. I mean,
And
I
your quarterback can't give them the ball
the
twice.
only the, what I will say, and I think I mentioned this maybe in our very first discussion as you and I were, kind of talking about the residue of this
Imagine
latest
how punch drunk we'd be if
disappointing.
we had 7 hours on the road back from Buffalo
Yeah,
today.
all no question. But the only thing that I would say would be it when the Ravens did not punch it in when they had the ball at the 2-yard line, and Henry runs it on first and goal from the two and gets stuffed, so it's second and goal from the three. I still would have been very much inclined to give the ball to Derrick Henry again there. Instead, the Ravens, Lamar gets sacked, and then it's third and eight. So there's that. Look, anyone. I mean, you could talk about some play calls Buffalo made over the course of the game, and you kind of say, why'd you do that? Right? I mean, you're going to have that over the course of 60 minutes, and when your offense is running on any in any given week, 65 to 75 plays. I mean, that's just you're going to have some of that. So I look at that, and then I do look at the 2-point conversion that they did not get, where it likely was open. But Milano makes the play. It's a heck of a play. Give him credit. He was in the passing lane there. Lamar's got to put a little more air under it. If you don't give the ball to Derrick Henry there, I can live with that. But remember, they motioned him out and he's no longer in the backfield. I didn't care for that, right? And so, but again, the play was there. They didn't make it. It's the same thing with, are we going to beat up Todd Monken because he didn't have the forward thinking to expect that Mark Andrews was going to drop the 2-point conversion? No, of course not. You expect one of your best players to make a play there. So, to bring it back to full circle, I mean, to your original question, I didn't have a major problem with how Derrick Henry was used. I think you look at how this game played out. The Ravens collectively ran the ball 30 times for 176 yards. Justice Hill ran the ball really well. I mean, let's throw that in there. I think at the times where this running game has been at its absolute best, beyond when Derrick Henry runs for an 87-yard touchdown in the first play from scrimmage at like week 4 against Buffalo, has been when it's Henry, it's Lamar, and Justice Hill, who's on the field as their blitz pickup guy when they want to throw the ball, when they can use the changeup of giving him the ball and he gains big yards for you. I mean, they ran for 176 yards, and that's with Buffalo really slowing them down, not slowing them down entirely, but slowing Derrick Henry down in the first half. So I didn't have a big problem with it. I mean, if someone wants to sit here and say, I would have rather had Derrick Henry had 19 carries rather than 16, I mean, fine. Sure. But at the same time, we're still burying the lead here of the fact that they moved the ball, kind of at will, right? I mean, they had over 400 yards. I mean, they averaged the yards per play that they did. They were really good on third down. They were 2 of 3 inside the red zone. I mean, it's not like you look at the overall offensive numbers, and you say, oh, that was bad. That didn't look good until you get to the turnovers, and it's three turnovers. So keeps bringing us back to the lead here, which was they didn't take care of the ball and they dropped, a couple critical drops. I mean, the most critical drop in franchise history right there. Because, at least Lee Evans, you could debate whether that was really a true drop or was it a good defensive play. Truth was in between there. There's no ambiguity about that one. I mean, Mark Andrews just dropped it. So, Derrick Henry again. Buffalo did a good job in the first half. They bottled him up. The Ravens got him going. But I mean, you look at the second half drives. I mean, we haven't mentioned this once in our in multiple segments. The Ravens didn't punt the ball once on Sunday night. Think about that. They didn't punt the ball once.
Their punter kicked off.
Yeah. So that right there tells you the issue wasn't moving the ball. The issue was taking care of it. So, yeah. So, to answer your question, I didn't have a big problem with how Derrick Henry was used. Again, at the goal line there on second and goal from the three, I would have liked to see hand it to him again. And the 2-point play, I didn't like motioning him out. If you're not going to give him the ball, fine. But it's the same thing that we talk about in short yardage situations. Why would you ever take Lamar or Derrick Henry out of the equation with some of those? Although the Andrews tush push has proved to work out pretty well over the course of the year. When they've been in less than a yard to go, but it's just again, they move the ball. That wasn't the issue. They're good on third down. They converted their one fourth down. Got to take care of it. Can't give it away. And like I said, in converse, the flip side of that over the years with these January losses has been they've given it away and they haven't taken it away enough. And that's in any one game, you're not blaming the defense for that, but the entire body of work, that adds up to why you're coming up short in these games. I mean, you gotta make the big plays. And that was one thing we talked about with the Kansas City loss last year. As well as you look at the final score and you say, you held Kansas City to 17 points. You can't be too upset with that. How could you? At the same time, when your offense is struggling, you might need your defense to take the ball away once. And they couldn't do it then. They couldn't do it on Sunday night. As much as I admire how the defense played in the second half of that game, Mark Andrews gets stripped. That drive there screamed for needing a turnover. Well, instead, Buffalo drove down the field. They did hold them to three. Credit to them there. But again, January legacies are defined by who's making the biggest plays in the ball game. And, while the defense hasn't been the culprit for most of these losses, it hasn't made the game-changing play either that flips it the other way around. Teron Johnson had the pick six against the Ravens in 2020 in Buffalo, for example. You look at that play that he made. The Ravens defense hasn't made those kinds of plays in January in this era. And, it's just one of the multitude of reasons why they've come up short and they haven't broken through.
Luke Jones is here. We're going to be lamenting lots of things here as we prepare to watch Buffalo and Kansas City in the AFC Championship game and the unspeakable, the Washington football franchise taking on the Philadelphia football franchise on Sunday evening. Although I will make for nice cheesesteaks, I'll go over to Pizza John's, maybe get a little cheesesteak going. I don't know what to make of all of this when the Ravens get eliminated. You need that deep breath of a couple of days, especially when they weren't soundly beaten, when they were good enough to win. This isn't, Pittsburgh where you look at it and say, we weren't really good enough this year. Or even some upstart Detroit or even Minnesota or these other places where they're disappointed because they won a lot of games. This has become a little bit too much of a trend. Luke Jones is here. Luke, let's talk off season. Who comes, who stays, who goes? What should the next thing's the draft and for like let's pretend that didn't hurt. Let's pretend they just lost a normal game on Sunday night in Buffalo and they have to pick up the pieces. Here we go, right? Like first things first, Monken, who's coming to get coaches, who's under contract, old guy, Stanley Van Noy. Yeah, I mean, what does Billick always say? Time for play. That ended. When Andrews dropped the ball, and now it's time for pay.
Yeah, I mean there are going to be changes, obviously. I mean, as you mentioned, the first item of business, whether it's business or not, remains to be seen, is what's going to happen with Todd Monken. As we know, he's interviewed at multiple places, so we'll see if anything comes of that. I mean, lots of guys get interviewed. I wouldn't remotely assume that he's gone, but he could be. You don't know that, and obviously that's a that leads to the question of who would replace him. But you look at the free agency, and you mentioned Kyle Van Noy. He is under contract next year. So, but he's 30, what, going to be 30, age 34 season? I mean, where's he going to be? What's that mean for pass rusher? I mean, same thing with Derrick Henry. He's under contract. No reason to think that Derrick Henry won't be back and can't have another great season, but he is going to get old eventually. Everyone gets old eventually. And again, that's when you had a Derrick Henry that rushed for 1,900 yards. It's like,
I just bought the
oh.
jersey. He better run next year. Yeah, I want to wear the jersey next year. Come on
Yeah,
now.
I hear you. But again, he's going to be another year older. I mean, that's what you're always talking about. But when it comes to the free agents, I think, the headliner Marcus Williams going to be gone, right? I mean, he's gone, obviously. I mean, we'll see if they have anything to say about what happened there. I mean, it's something that just kind of got buried because, fortunately, what they did with Kyle Hamilton and Ardarius Washington, who was really good. Ardarius Washington, one of the unsung heroes of this defense in the second half of the year. I mean, wasn't just that he was steady, he played well. I mean, go look at the Josh Allen tackle on third and goal. Ardarius Washington made the play there, right? I mean, he's been that good. But the flip side of that was Marcus Williams, and we're moving on from him. The big question for me, and I was even talking with some other members of the local media about this the last couple of weeks out on the practice field. Ronnie Stanley's going to be a free agent. What do you do there? You know what I mean? Like, he was healthy. He played 17 games for the first time in his career, played all every game. Barely missed a snap. The only time he was really pulled was when they
Well,
had a
if you're
big
happy
lead.
with
And
him, you pay him, and you're
well,
probably going to
but
like
do
him
you
more than
pay
anybody
him?
else is going to like him.
But do you pay him? You know what I mean? Like, 30,
Not
he's gonna
pay him. I'm pay him like offer him a job next year. Who else is offering him the job?
well,
And what are they going to pay him?
but that's my question. I mean,
First thing,
do you
do you
see?
want him or do you want to improve that
I
position?
mean,
Which
I
one's
want
better?
him, but I
Do you?
at what cost?
No, dude,
Is it
no.
going to
Do
be
you
a
really want
cost?
him?
Is it going to be a cost that is going to be conducive to recognizing he's going to be 31? Yes, you got a healthy season, but you also know the 5 years before that, the history. I mean, is it? And to your
Well,
point,
Mark
maybe.
Andrews may be that question on the back end of this, and him hiding from the media on Sunday night. Like, is it? Look, the Bills went this way last year. Look at them. They wound up getting rid of accomplished players and Diggs, and it felt like, well, they're going to take a step sideways. You wouldn't have to pitch me that with Likely and with their wide receiving corps. You could say we're moving on from Andrews and Stanley because of age. We moved on from Zeitler and Moses the year before, and we came a drop pass from our hall of pretty decent player dropping the ball away from, maybe forcing ourselves into a championship game again. They're close, right? I mean, come on. You and I picked them to win this game. They
They've
could
been
have won
close
the
for
game.
5 years, Nestor. I mean, this isn't, it's nothing new. This isn't new territory. I mean, I hear you. That's what's frustrating about this, because it's like, what do you do? I saw. I saw a couple, some of the NFL.com and some of the national sites that, they, as soon as a team season ends, they put out a, kind of a paint by numbers. What's their biggest offseason need? And I saw a couple people say wide receiver for them. And I'll hear that. I mean, Zay Flowers wasn't out on the field. They could have used Zay late in the game, right? I mean, maybe the play goes to him rather than Mark Andrews. I don't know. And again, there's no excusing Mark Andrews for dropping that pass. I mean, there just isn't. But, could they have used another wide receiver? Well, they tried with Diontae Johnson. The guy's a total knucklehead. Three other teams recognize that too. So, I mean, I can't fault them for that. I mean, they gave up next to nothing to get him, but it didn't work out. They could have used him. They could have used him, or the idea of him anyway, on Sunday night.
And conversely, if he weren't an idiot, he could have used them.
Oh, well, think about it. Not just the.
Dude, he could have
The
gotten eight
Texans wanted
balls the
them
last
too.
4 weeks. They
The Texans wanted them too. I mean, either one of those teams. Like, yeah. Anyway, I don't want to get off on a tangent too much with him, but I'll hear wide receiver. Sure. I think offensive line, whether we're talking Stanley at left tackle, what happens there? You may be right. Maybe the Ravens do value him more than any other team out there. But what? All it takes is one,
And
right?
how are you going to improve upon him, and what's it going to cost you?
And that's the thing. I mean, and let me be clear,
What are they
Ronnie.
picking? 20 what?
They'll be 20, 32,
Yeah,
28, I
27?
guess.
20, yeah,
20,
27.
no,
Whatever. 20 late.
27, because Detroit will be 28,
There you go.
right? Detroit
Because they
had the
lost.
better,
Right.
yeah, and they had the better record. But you look at that with Stanley, for example. He was healthy. Was he all pro Ronnie Stanley all year? No. I thought he played really well over the first half of the season. I think the second half of the season, he was closer to fine than Pro Bowl level, which, hey, if you can pay him to be that, if you can pay him as that, fine. But if he has designs that he's going to be anywhere close to the tax bracket he was in when the Ravens signed him 5 years ago, then no way.
You know
I
what's
mean.
fascinating is all the first 25 years of the franchise, I was completely glued in to knowing how they really feel,
Mm-hmm.
right? Like, I would always, even if they would lie to me, but they didn't. I mean, that's the thing that's so out of character for all this when the story is written. If you run into DaCosta or Harbaugh, when I got behind closed doors with them, they were always like painfully honest, like they are with their off the record stuff with you, where you know exactly how they felt about Jermaine Illuminor, as an example, or how they really felt about Earl Thomas in the end, and what that they didn't want to go down that road again. Even in the aftermath of Ray Rice and the embarrassment of all of that, that they have managed to mainly steer clear of jurisprudence related issues. Their biggest issues of this offseason probably won't be a player punching his wife in an elevator or having a drug overdose, although that happened 2 years
Certainly
ago.
hope not.
He had a baseball player here in Brian Mattis. I mean, these are young people. There's, they've had tragedy down in South Florida with one of their draft picks a decade ago as well. These weird instances of all the things that can go right or wrong in the offseason. But they are, in a general sense, as stable as stable as stable can be. And they pick their players, they love their players, they sign their players, they retain their players. This goes back to John Ogden and Ray Lewis and Ed Reed. Like, it's been a different kind of organization in that way. And I really think, had I been getting together in the offseason with Eric DaCosta and John Harbaugh, like I always did for hours at a time, and vibing them through the roster and where they are, on what they really think of Marlon Humphrey, what they really think of Tyler Linderbaum, how they feel about Rosengarten at this point. Clearly, the Kyle Hamilton thing, I don't need to ask about that, right? Like, he is the next statue for them in their mind, in your mind, probably as well. And they have to figure that out with money, right? They have all these moving parts. I don't know how in love they are with Stanley, and I don't know how in love they are with Mark Andrews in a general sense to say, like watching Zach Ertz run around for the Redskins, right? Or the Commanders, right? Like, where, as well as Travis Kelce and his beautiful girlfriend running around with the Chiefs later on, I don't know how they value Andrews when they have likely and they could say, all right, it's time. And how Eric's tolerance for this, financially and otherwise, and in the framework of the offense. And dude, Pat Ricard's hung around 2 years longer than we thought he would, right? Right? I mean, they find roles for people they like, and that speaks to who Harbaugh is. And Harbaugh's directing this as much as it's thought to be Eric's team. Come on, man. They live next door to each other. They meet over horses in their beautiful farm in northern Baltimore County, and there's kumbaya and all this. They're in this together, and they take this loss together, and they've taken a lot of losses together and not enough wins this time of year with Lamar on top of it. Humphrey, Stanley, Andrews. Who else has been a part of the pudding here? Justin Tucker, throw him in there because he's been a part of it and been around a little longer than any of them. But, look. The fact that you have a press pass and I don't tells you how us against them they all are, and the protection of Chad Steele, and Andrews doesn't even show up and show face after the game, which all the other teammates had to do that, as you've brought out several times. I change happens, and sometimes change is good. I mean, they got rid of Camp Cameron, won the Super Bowl. The Buffalo Bills cashed in everything in the offseason. People thought they were quitting their a point and a half dog, or what are they? It's a point and a half. I don't, whatever they are, I don't bet on this stuff. And they have a chance to go to the Super Bowl. So these off-season changes that are difficult with relationships and players, and he's going to be in the Ring of Honor, but he's making too much money, and he dropped a pad, and we don't. It's just time. It's just time. Yeah, maybe. I don't know where they are on Tucker, dude. You know what I mean? Are they going to come back with another season with Tucker? And how do they feel about that? And where are they with? Because they could easily, whether it's Bouja or not, sell it to you and me easily. I can make a case right now to be King Prick and go out to Owings Mills and sit with Eric like we used to and just say, you're done with Stanley, right? I don't know. I would. That's the vibe I would get. I would say, you got to be thrilled with Hamilton. We're signing him. Don't even think, like, whatever it's going to cost us a lot of money, but that's going to get done. Don't worry about that. Where are you and Humphrey at this point? Well, he makes a lot of money, had a good year. Yeah, I don't know. You know, would you trade him for a two right now? Get, you know, and I don't think you would. I don't think they like their back end enough. I don't know how they feel about Wiggins a year in. He's out on the field. They like him. You mentioned Ardarius Washington, how they really feel about a guy of that size and the way they want to play defense, which is Hamilton. I'm getting deep now for 10 hours after the game. Hamilton up on, but I love football and I could sit here and go all night with this. But I do think there's a point where you tap Ronnie Stanley, Justin Tucker, Mark Andrews, maybe not Humphrey, although I'm not a Humphrey guy. I'm not. I don't think he's a winner. That's just me. I would fumigate that. I just would. But that's me. I want a different.
Might have been their best defensive player this year.
I agree with you. And I'm saying if I'm with it, I have a preponderance to like certain people and not certain people. I've always loved Zach Orr, so I'll give him the benefit of the doubt as a defensive coordinator because I think he's a good human and I think he's a smart guy. He's a good football player, like just all of that. I'm not ready to give certain guys that I know Mark Andrews. I don't need to give him the benefit of the doubt. I mean, I was around him enough. I Ronnie Stanley ditto, that I need to, as a media member, fanboy, pretend general manager, tough guy columnist, get my Mike Preston going here, counting my beans and my money and where I am. I don't, doesn't matter how I feel, bro. Matters how they feel. And I used to have a real sense always for what direction they might go in. I don't know. So I'm guessing. I would say as the Monday morning, you know, coffee boy who just watches the games on TV now to watch Chad Steele preen around in the post game behind all of his players. I could be done with Andrews. I could be done with Stanley if I had a solution. If I had a solution, if I wanted to reallocate resources, I saw Andrews a $16 million cap number. I did a little bit of work on this because I'm going to be writing about his act Sunday night in the little locker room in Buffalo when it's 10 degrees and the media has to come out of the press box into 8 degrees and walk the length of the stadium around the stadium. I saw the one woman that probably doesn't deserve a press pass who has one running around there in the cold, didn't know where she was going. Like I saw her tweeting about it. I'm thinking, sis, you got a press pass. Go enjoy yourself. I'm sitting here with my cat in my lap eating Pizza John's. So after 30 years of building an empire for media. So well, what is media and who has a press pass and how Mark Andrews can run for you and then you can, how you can hold him accountable. I'll hold him accountable because it's wrong. It lacks integrity. It lacks integrity top down, but that doesn't shock me. You saw me run into Bisciotti and Eric DaCosta on a veranda 10 months ago. And where's Bisciotti? Where's nobody else is going to say that. Where's Bisciotti to answer questions? So all of that, I'm just guessing. I'm guessing. They better have a plan at left tackle. Stanley, to me, it's not good enough moving forward, right? But I don't know what their plan is. And they got $50 million into the quarterback. And let's go play the feud. Everything we did with Flacco, let's do that with Lamar. How much money are we going to spend on this player, that player? Hamilton's going to be. How much is Hamilton going to be? Is he going to be a $25, $30 million player?
30
Especially
mil.
if they use him the way they want to use him up on the line and he really starts becoming an absolute unicorn.
Yeah, I'm pulling up the highest paid safeties right now. The highest paid safety, which again, is he a safety? You know
But
what I
Ed,
mean?
are you
Like,
a safety? Yeah,
right.
the old Brian
The
Billick thing.
highest paid safety right now has an average annual value. It's Antoine Winfield of the Bucks, $21 million.
So then
Hamilton
he's
could be a
23.
At least, I mean, he could be 25, right? I mean, you
Okay,
could
well, that's
look,
why I said
you,
25.
right? No, I'm just saying,
So then
but
you know, so now who is your left tackle? You've got a tight end solution and likely that you could say, look, Mark dropped the ball, let him go play for the Cardinals, let him go, you know, it's fine. He'll probably, you know, whatever he does, we have a solution there. I'm trying to think of solutions in ball players, right? Like they have linebacking issues, right? They do. I mean, they were running around Chris Board and Simpson and what they're going to do there.
I'm not spending money on another linebacker. I mean, is Roquan Smith Did he play like a $20 million linebacker this
Well, you
year?
said he wouldn't 2 years ago, and that's you were the first one in
He
on
played,
it.
and to be clear, he played better the second half of the year. But to refocus us a little bit, because you asked me about free agents. Marcus Williams is going to be gone. Ronnie Stanley, we're going to see, right? I mean, he's 31. The injury history, he was healthy this year. He played well, but not outstanding football over the course of the full season. So what do you do there? However, Patrick McCary's also a free agent. So if you, now you're talking about two offensive line spots, where are you with Daniel Faalele? He played better than expected, but are you ready to say he's going to be my next Marshall Yanda for the next 5, 6 years? So the offensive line, while they played, they exceeded expectations relative to where we thought they could be over the course of the season and where we thought they were going to be in training camp. There's still, I think there's work to do there, right? Whether you're going to draft a guard, whether you're going to draft another tackle. I think, one of the bright spots, I think Roger Rosengarten played really well as the year went on. And I know this from having talked to people before the season. Their main contingency plan, had Stanley gotten hurt, as he's apt to do, was not necessarily to just put Patrick McCary there like they did in the past. My understanding was they would have considered putting Rosengarten at left tackle. So I'm not saying that means he's going to be your bona fide left tackle of the future. However, if you go into the draft and say a tackle that you really like is there in the first round, second round, in the same way that Rosengarten was there in the second round, perhaps that's your left tackle of the future, and maybe you play Rosengarten at left tackle for 2025. I don't know. I'm spitballing
Well,
here.
that's so Eric to say not only are we going to draft the right tackle in the second round who's going to be a solid Orlando Brownie kind of right tackle, but a guy that we think might be a left tackle in his
Yeah.
third or fourth year. And maybe he's the guy we give money to that's not top of school left tackle, but good enough.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, I'll
And
hear
let
that. That's
And
not,
let
that wouldn't shock me.
right. And let me be clear. I'm not at all saying I would not re-sign Ronnie Stanley, but I need to know what it is, right? Again, if he has thoughts that he's going to be paid anywhere close to being a $20 million left tackle again, I mean, I'm not doing that.
I have to ask
That's
who
not a good
else. I'm
investment.
asking who
Sure.
else. What are
Well,
the other
and that's
options?
why I said I think there very much are some thoughts that Roger Rosengarten, at the very least, can be solid there. And I think ideally, in a perfect world, you draft a left tackle, or Stanley signs for a 2, 3 year deal at, okay starter money at left tackle, and you'd let that play out. But I think there are some thoughts that Rosengarten could play left tackle, but then the question is, who's right tackle? And as I mentioned, McCary is a free agent. Yeah, the rest of their list of free agents, because we mentioned it, I want to at least give it, a little bit of oxygen. I don't, at this time a year ago, there was a lot of thoughts about Brandon Stevens and would you give him a long-term deal? He didn't play well enough this year. I mean, I think Brandon Stevens will probably get a decent contract somewhere else to go be a starting outside corner. And I think you let him do that and you'll take the comp pick. I think with Marlon Humphrey, because you mentioned him, he's going to be entering the final year of his deal. I think his cap number is somewhere in the neighborhood of 25 next year. I'd consider giving him an extension. That's how well he played this year. Now, I know what you had to say about him, but we said this was going to be a pivotal year. The guy stayed healthy and he played at a very high level, arguably the best year of his career. Certainly one of the two best years of
I
his
don't think
career.
you want to start the season without him next year.
Oh, I don't think there's any way you cut him. I mean, suddenly you're like, okay, even if you like Nate Wiggins,
Well, I
really?
mean, to your point, he feels to me to be the kind of guy that he'll get cranky, either behind closed doors or wherever, to get this is his time to get paid again, right? I mean,
Well, and that's the.
that is a story. He is a guy right now as cranky as Lamar got a couple of years ago. He's a cranky. He's a guy that will say, come back and play last year of my deal. What are we doing here? I mean, come on, give me some money. Give me some. I played hard for you, and I could, and that would be fair. On his behalf, that's fair.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, with Humphrey, actually, I was wrong. This isn't the last year of his deal. He's under contract through 26. I was wrong about that. My apologies.
With a
But
$20 million cap number, right?
it's 25 this year. So that's where you look at that and say, okay, and I'm using numbers from overthecap.com, which is, to me, the over across the league, the best resource in looking at contracts, things of that nature. But he in base salary 14, and then 15.2 in 2026. So you look at that. How do you take that, those numbers, and maybe, give him a 4-year extension, something like that, understanding that it'd probably be a 3-year contract, right? I mean, we know how these deals work. So you'd look at that, but you look at the rest of their free agents. Tre'Davious White, he's not going to be back. There's no reason to think he would be. Aguilar, probably not going to be back. Ricard, I no reason to think you wouldn't bring him back. And there's not going to be a high demand for Patrick Ricard. We've seen that play out. He's hit the market before, even as a Pro Bowl fullback. But Malik Harrison, Josh Jones, Josh Johnson, Brent Urban, Steven Sims, Chris Board. I mean, as I mentioned, Brandon Stevens, Ben Cleveland, Christian Welch. I mean, these. Ardarius Washington's going to be a restricted free agent. So there's a conversation, at least in terms of,
There's a guy you don't want to lose.
oh, you're not right. But the question would be, do you just tender him or do you give him a contract, which, you're not going to break the bank. He's not going to break the bank, but, do you give him a contract in the way that they gave Broderick Washington a contract extension a couple years ago? Something that gives him some real money, but it's not crazy. But the point is that list of names I just gave you, it's not as though they have six or seven high priority free agents that are going to be hitting the market where you say, oh my gosh, what are they going to do? It's Stanley, it's McCary. And then after that, it's, role players, right? I mean, what are you going to do? So, I think ideally they'd love to bring Patrick McCary back. I think ideally you'd want him to move back into that sixth man role though, right? I don't know if you want to start the year with designs of him being your starting left guard again. I think that worked out okay, but I think you'd like to find a long-term answer there. So I as I see their roster, I still think the offensive line, even if they do bring Stanley back, I still think you'd look at the offensive line in terms of you'd like to add another really legitimate piece there via the draft or, whether it be a veteran and free agent. I think they'd probably try to go the draft route. I mentioned wide receiver in passing. I guess, I'll say this. I mean, to your point, if you would move on from Mark Andrews, you're going to need another pass catcher. You don't want to just go into it with Isaiah Likely and then Zay Flowers and Bateman, and that's it. You're going to need another one then. And we know,
I'm not
like,
saying move on from Andrews, but he's $70 million player. I mean, like, I there
no,
comes a
well,
point where the
but you,
value. Well, I just
I was
I
just
don't want
saying
to.
you presented that
If
possibility. I was
somebody
just
comes
going to
in the
throw it
middle of a
out there.
conversation, think I'm kicking dirt. I mean, I'm trying to figure out how they get a Super Bowl winning roster next
Sure.
year because this year's over with. And to your point, the offensive line's going to be different, the team's going to be different, but the things that they did well, the things that they like to do, Ricard, King Henry, the two tight end set. Having the
Yeah.
speed of Flowers out there, which they lacked the other night. And then whatever Bateman is at this point, you talked about extending guys. They gave him some money last offseason to give him a kiss on the cheek. So to our point, it feels like, well, there's not a whole lot that they're going to do. It feels like they're drafting low 27th, which what can they do? And then you think, well, free agency, what do they ever do? So there's no splash coming. There's no big off-season thing. The next big thing that happens for them is going to be when the schedule comes out and who they're playing and whatever offensive lineman they take with the 27th pick or whatever, whoever they're going to pick at that point at the bottom of the draft, because that's what happened when you play divisional weekend. You know what I mean? You pick
Yeah.
in the low 20s, and it's hard to find the right kinds of players there. Certainly wide receivers and the things that we've talked about over the years is what's still there. You get a good center. Well, they did that. they've done those. You get a safety that turns out to be all world. Well, they did that. So,
You're
they've
gonna have to
drafted
pay
it.
those two. You're gonna have to pay those two guys either this offseason or next offseason.
They've
So yeah.
drafted the Ed Reeds and the Ray Lewis's down there, and they've drafted some Todd Heaps and some other real serviceable players at the end of the. They also had some Lamar Jackson drafted at the end of the first round. So, Luke Jones is here. He's Baltimore Luke. It's beginning of the off season. If you want to hear us yell about Mark Andrews dropping the ball, we've done plenty of that. If you want to hear about the game plan, we talked plenty of that. And this is what we're left to do. Either that or just throw darts at Mark Andrews all day long or John Harbaugh or whatever. Lamar for kicking the ball around, whatever the perceived issues are, this is what happens when you lose a big ball game, and especially when you're in a position to win the game. That, I mean, that's the real heartache of this, Luke. They didn't go out and lose 31-14, kick it around four times and really get their ass kicked. The game was sitting there with a minute and a half left to go to extend the season, and they're going to have to live with that forever.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, like we said, you know, 2019 to the Titans, they fell behind big in that game. But since then, 20, Teron Johnson pick six against Lamar. You know, it turned a 7-point game into a two touchdown loss. 21, they didn't make the playoffs, of course. 22, Tyler Huntley at the goal line. I get it. No one thought they were going to make a deep run, but they had a chance to upset the Bengals. I mean, they're, you know, I mean, it's still excruciating in the moment. For these guys, even though Lamar wasn't out there, they were trying to win and they had a shot. And then, you know, last year you had Zay Flowers, Lamar turning the ball over, and then I mean, you have what happened on Sunday night, which again, the Mark Andrews drop is going to go down right there with Lee Evans and Billy Cundiff, other than the fact that that was the championship game. But you know, you don't expect a Ring of Honor kind of player to make that kind of a mistake. Again, you throw a pick, a defender's on the other side to catch it, right? You fumble the ball. In most cases, the defender's knocking it out. That ball wasn't knocked away from Mark Andrews. There wasn't that, you know, just catch it. Again, I hate to say it, but anyone, you know, the truth is the truth. I mean, you'd expect a high school kid to catch that. And he'd be the first to tell you that, you know, if he had talked Sunday night, I suppose. But it's just, yeah, it's a long, long January, long February, long off season, long OTAs, long training camp, long 2025 regular season. And unfortunately, there's been a whole lot of that here in recent years because this team has been so good in the regular season, not so good in January.
Is Luke Jones. He is Baltimore Luke. He will be in Owings Mills cleaning out the lockers this week. You'll find it all out at Baltimore Positive. We're getting the Maryland Crab Cake Tour back out on the road now that the Ravens have lost. Canceled flights to Kansas City. What was that? I canceled my flight from going nowhere. Yeah, that sounds like a song. Man, I had barbecue. Dude, you and I were like ready to paint it up, man. I had Q39 all set up, Jack Stack. I was going to do a double barbecue. And then, you know, my wife's like, you're bringing some home, right? And now all of a sudden it's like, what, a mail order? I click online. Maybe what people do here with Fadley's Crab Cakes or Coco's or Cosby, order online. And I don't know what I'm doing. I'm watching football this weekend, like everyone else, and lamenting the loss that I've eaten my final nacho mama's salsa and quesadilla. We're on to something new around here. It's a new season. It's baseball season. So I'll be here to ask Mr. Rubenstein some questions, and I could transfer all those Kansas City points to that flight to Sarasota. So maybe it's not a flight to nowhere. Maybe it's a flight into spring training. Yeah, we never stop talking Baltimore sports. We're Baltimore Positive. Stay with us.